All right, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I want to welcome you to this Monday, November 26th meeting of the Board of Garrett County Commissioners. Held with the Board of Education today. I want to welcome those members. If everyone would please stand with me for the pledge, and then Commissioner Tishner will lead us in the invocation.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If you join me in a word of prayer. Precious and loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you today with thanksgiving in our hearts. Lord, we just thank you for this Thanksgiving season that we have, and we just look up to you and praise you and glorify you. We ask that you be here and present today, Lord, and everything that's said and done here today, Lord, would be pleasing to you. Give us the wisdom and the knowledge that we need to be fruitful in our proceedings here today, Lord. And Lord, we ask all this in thy most precious holy name. Amen.
Please be seated. Mr. Knoll, are there any additions, deletions, corrections to the public meeting agenda?
No, sir.
Hearing none, we have a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
We have a motion, we have a second.
Second.
Motion is second. Agenda is approved by mutual consent. We have a very light agenda as far as items are concerned. Only two items, an update on the Garrett County Board of Education strategic planning process and capital project request. I do want to make one note, because of the nature of this meeting, there will not be a public comment or question period at the end. Anyone that's interested and has questions or comments for the respective board can either attend our next public meeting, which is December the 3rd, which is Monday, and the Board of Ed's next meeting is December the 11th. So if anyone has questions, comments, that would be the appropriate time to make those. Most people in the room probably have some history to this conversation. I want to thank the elected Board of Education for coming together. I know it was very difficult to coordinate 8 and 9 schedules, so thank you for putting that effort in. And Mr. Paul, everyone that is here, I think we'll start introduction, and if you guys would just quickly introduce yourselves. I'm Commissioner Paul Edwards.
Commissioner Jim Heinbaum.
Mr. Larry Tishnell.
Student Board Member Katie Catulli.
Matthew Paul, President of the Board.
Monica Rinker, Member of the Board of Education.
Charles C. Moe, Elected Member.
Tom Lewis, Board Member.
Nate Sorber, Vice President of the Board of Ed.
Thank you, guys. So really, this meeting goes back really to March 7th, 2016. We were young in our term. The board came in, the elected Board of Education, along with the superintendent, came in and made a presentation on their budget. Part of that, we had mentioned at that time, we being the Board of County Commissioners, that we needed to work on some priorities and prioritizing that budget, especially when it comes to capital funds. That's a very expensive endeavor, and that leads to this meeting today. I know the board has had several meetings internally, externally, in the community. I know the superintendent's been out in different communities soliciting information and public comment. A couple of SWOT analyses and questions went out via social media and Facebook and the web page. And so here we are. And we, one other thing so that everyone in the audience knows, when Chairman or President Paul and myself sort of kind of coordinate this meeting a little bit, we agreed to exchange some questions in advance. We didn't want this to be a gotcha or, have anybody try to, pull one over on the other one. So we did exchange some questions in advance of the meeting. And the first agenda item is an update on the Garrett County Board of Education strategic planning process, which is what several of the questions that the Board of Commissioners posed to the Board of Education. And with that, I'll turn it over to you, and we'll start that way.
Sure.
So we can take a look at this, and I invite the board members to see. Please speak up anytime you want to as far as the questions that you specifically posed. Looking at the status of the strategic planning process, it has been a process in which there's been many meetings, both internally and externally, and lots of public meetings as well, where we have the board submitted a working kind of governing document for what we wanted to see in strategic planning. We identified priorities and then limited those down to our key 10 or 11 priorities that we have been working on. Of course, the most one that has come to the fore in all that has been as far as the footprint, but that certainly included other areas as well, looking at other situations that we're facing as far as behavior issues, as far as looking at budgets and ways we can make sure that every department is operating efficiently, and looking at a full analysis of the system. So all of those are included in there. So that was in part of the second question that has the general expectations for that. The data-driven assessments of the strengths, threats, and weaknesses and opportunities. So we did the SWOT analysis that was both an online plus a community meetings tool that the superintendent conducted in the various schools throughout the county. Those gave us lots of information by which we developed the priorities that we identified. Then we tried to assemble data, and that's where it really came to be clear, I think, to the board in the past few months, that we really needed a way to make that data more meaningful to us and to have a way to interpret that data that was a way that we could allow our staff to continue to focus on the keeping the system and continuing to excel as we have done as a school system. But we needed to have some perspective to help us with that. And so at the last board meeting, the motion was made to enlist a consultant to help us with that process. One of your questions certainly is to the cost of that. We are currently in the process of developing an RFP to be sent out to enlist those consultants and to see where that, I think our we plan to use some carryover funds to fund that process. So that's part of the consultant. You asked about how this study will differ from the one conducted in 2013. 2013 study was a very limited study of facilities, and only facilities, first of all. It did have some transportation in that, but facilities was the main issue there. Secondly, it only looked at elementary schools. It did not look at the middle schools or the high schools. So that's one of the things. It did not have community engagement beyond, I think, the superintendent's office at that time. I don't even know if the board, most of us, I think, Charlotte, you're the only one on the board at that time. I don't know if there was board engagement even with that particular study. So we really want a study that is more focused on community engagement, community input, recognizing that the numbers and the figures are one thing, but we also have to have a plan that will work with our community and the specific challenges that we face in Garrett County, and something that the community can get behind and support. And so what we're looking for in this particular study is, first of all, data around a complete analysis of strategic planning, not just buildings, but all the priorities we looked at. Secondly, a process that has lots of community engagement. That is one of our key priorities to make sure that we have included in this particular study, which are things that we really don't believe were addressed in that 2013 study. Also, the 2013 study was to address a specific budget shortfall, and evidently we were able to find those funds without implementing all of those recommendations. So I think that's one of the things we have to look at there. As far as you talked about, I'm not familiar, and I asked the superintendent if she had any familiarity, and I asked Charlotte, as our senior board member, we'll call her, about any past consultant studies. I am actually not aware of any other consultant studies besides the 2013 study that was specifically listed. If there are specific ones that you were addressing in that question, we'd be glad to take a look and to consider that, but I'm not sure. I know there's been some different proposals that have been done, and there was a five-year plan back during the time of the interim superintendent Wagner that was, I think that was a quickly put together plan without much community engagement. One of the really key things for us is we do not want to rush to a hasty decision. We want to have a decision that will help all of our communities, that will help our communities to be on board with what we, the direction we're going, that will have the community support. We don't want to make permanent decisions that will affect the future of communities without having all of the data and all the information. And so we don't want to rush through the process, but at the same time we recognize the need to have the plan. And so we're hoping to have this done in a timely fashion. I can't say for sure what the timeline is until we get the RFPs and have that. Board members, on strategic planning, anything you want to add at this point?
All right. Any other questions on the strategic planning process?
Will the consultant be asked to look at cost considerations?
Yeah, that will certainly be a key element of that study, would be whatever options are presented, what that cost would be, plus looking at efficiencies. One of our key things was examining all of the departments within the school system to look at that, and looking at budget and finding that side as well. So, yes.
How far out will they look? Do you have a...
I don't know. Have we that we specifically have said originally in our plan, were we looking 5 years? 5 to 8.
Thank you.
Any other questions on strategic planning? And I think that sort of dovetails then probably into the second agenda item, which is capital project request, and I think that was the genesis of the rest of the questions from the Board of Commissioners to the Board of Education. And then just move into those.
Yeah, if you get
the leadership at the moment.
Which one?
That you sent that one, yeah. Get my fresh off the holiday here. The capital projects that are listed with the local share. So the CIP, the capital improvement plan, is presented every year to the commissioners that has the needs that have been identified by our maintenance system and prioritized by the maintenance department. And so we choose those based on the needs that are presented to us. And each year we examine those and bring those forward based upon what we feel are the most needs of priority. And so sometimes that priority order can change. I think on the current list, which Katie has here, thank you, I got them from all sides. On the current list, where we have the Dennett Road and Southern High School and the Broadford roof replacement. I think in some of our correspondence, we have indicated that we were looking only for the Southern High and Dennett Road at this point because with the strategic planning, we weren't necessarily sure with the Broadford facility and specifically some of the recommendations we're looking at there. We are certain at this time that Southern High School and Dennett Road would be continue to be used. Of course, Dennett Road, we have there much of our shared IT resources, and so many questions arise around Dennett Road, and of course the school closing there, which was a past decision, but now it has developed into a good partnership that we've been able to develop between the county and the hospital and some other community agencies as well. So I think that's been a good resource. Community Action continues to be able to use the facility, and we've actually had some improvements there to help with the maintenance department as well. So that's what that is for, and that's just looking at fire alarms there. And then the front exterior renovation of Southern High School, which has the local design functions there. Was there anything else that we need to say specifically on those, Superintendent, from CIP?
The only thing I would add is, you know, we have to, very important that we get in line so that we get the state match. So some of our requests were for projects that we would be requesting that state match and going down to the IAC meetings to request matching funds. We don't want to get out of line, and we don't want to leave any money on the table for any projects that we know we're going to be doing soon. Mr. Swift, do you want to add anything to that?
Well, there's been three projects presented to the IAC, public school construction. The Broadford Roof, the Southern Middle School office space and vestibule, security vestibule, and the Southern High School fire alarm system replacement. And to date, the fire alarm system at Southern High School has been approved to move forward with the local funding, but we don't have approval for the Broadford Roof or the vestibule at Southern Middle School. So that's where we stand with the three projects for fiscal year 2020.
Thank you for that.
Thank you. Yeah, I think the idea of the state match, we do leave money on the table if we're not going, and that continues to help us to keep the renovations. And we did have a visit recently from the IAC, and several individuals there really remarked on the great shape that the schools that they visited were in. And our maintenance department is doing a great job, but in order to keep that up, we do need some of that support. And so whatever money we can use from the state, we need that help as well. Board members, anything there? Yeah, if you have a specific question, is a question for them?
It is.
How would you like to handle those?
Might as well form a topic.
Well, I thought it's on the CIP, and they're talking about the lists that have been sent over. I'm just a little confused, and I just want clarification, I guess, is what I'm looking for. When you did your budget presentation at the college for fiscal 2019, this was something you had handed out. And under capital highlights, it has Board of Education, Southern High, and Southern Middle School projects, $392,152. And then I looked on your website under county government, and this was for the year July 1, 2018 to June 30, 2019. On your five-year plan, and you have Board of Education. It says subsequent years are from a January 26, 2018 draft. And on there, under the approved fiscal year 2019, which that would have been what was presented, correct? 2019. They said it had approved $605,352 for the Board of Education. And it has Southern Middle new entrance, $67,000. Southern High School front entrance renovation, $22,252. Southern High School fire alarm system, $102,900. Southern High Gym, HV unit and metal shop, GHU unit, $200,000. Various capital equipment, $213,200. Let's see, wait. Okay, I told you that all the okay, yes, my question on them was, is I didn't have time to send an email over to ask the staff at the central office. Did we do all of those? Did we get funding for all those in the fiscal year 2019 that was approved? I was trying to remember.
Yeah, yes.
We got all those?
Yes.
Okay. Then my next question on that was, projected year 2020. It has $1,643,300 for the Board of Education. And I know it's projected. That's on your five-year plan. And we have sent over the first one, I believe, was February 21st, 2018, listing more of the items that they had set on the CIP. Southern High Fire Alarm Replacement, $102,900. Southern High HV GHU Unit Replacement, $200,000. Southern High Front Entrance, $22,252. Southern Middle School New Entrance, A&E Design, $67,000. And that's an amount of $392,152. So I'm looking, that's that amount, correct? $392,152, which matches this amount. November 5th, 2018, for capital improvement plans for the fiscal year 2020, and it lists 6 different ones. Southern Middle School new entrance, Southern High fire alarm replacement, construction phase, Rodford roof replacement, Dennett Road fire alarm replacement, Southern High front exterior renovation, Carlin new entrance, secure vestibule. And then we had got a letter back dated November 13th saying that the county commissioners support the following projects: Southern Gear High fire alarm replacement, construction phase, $215,000. Southern Gear High front exterior renovation, $38,000. So, what was my question? So that is $253,000 for CIP for the fiscal year 2020. But in your five-year plan, you had projected for the year 2020, $1,643,300. And on there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different items listed with a dollar amount. And two of them we know that we're getting funding for. So, I mean, it says projected. Does that initially, was that money set aside for the Board of Education, or how?
Well, the money's not set aside until we're in that fiscal year.
Okay.
So, because we don't know what the revenues are going to be before we get to that fiscal year. So, much like we ask you guys to do, to plan forward to...
Right, your little five-year plan.
Right. We tried to plan out a little bit, but the actual allocation isn't set until the budget's approved for that year.
Because I was just looking, we was requesting this in the year 2020, and that was in your projected 2020. And these two items were on here. So is there any chance that any of those projects could possibly be funded, or?
I think that's part of the conversation we're having today.
Okay, well, I just wanted to see when I was comparing the numbers and the items.
That's why we're here, to talk about it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think that goes back to the meeting almost 2 years ago when we said we were reluctant to approve some of the capital projects until we saw our overall plan.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of our concern was that the things that we're approving would be part of a plan, and I know you wouldn't do this intentionally, but we didn't want to invest money in a facility that maybe was going to be closed or something later on or require some other kind of modification, maybe based on the implementation of a plan. That's what I remember.
So you had some other questions here as far as the enrollments. I will certainly provide you with this list, but Northern Middle, and you had questions about Maryland Department of Planning. And as I look at this, ours are fairly close on many of them. So the Maryland Department of Planning projections are based upon population projections that they have internally, birth information, and compulsory attendance considerations. We base our internal upon year-over-year average and a five-year average of kindergarten. So that's where that comes. And then in looking at some of these projections, keeping in mind, if you're looking 10 years out, that, you know, the 1, 2, and 3 year olds are your middle school students now, so it's hard to say for sure, especially if as you go higher levels, so that gets harder. But from Northern Middle, Maryland Department of Planning for the actual for 2018, I'm sorry, the actual for 2018 was 349, Department of Planning was 343, our projection was 352. So we were off by three. 2023, Maryland Department of Planning has 320 projected, and our internal projections are 325, so 5 students difference. And in 2027, 332 for the Maryland Department of Planning and 334 internal. For Southern Middle, our current actual was 531. Both our projections and the Maryland Department of Planning had 522, so we were under what the actual is. Looking out 5 years, planning has 486, we have 500, and then in 2027, it's 504 and 463, so planning was 504, ours is much lower than theirs. K through 5, looking at system, the system-wide, our actual
as of September 30th was 1,613. The Maryland Department of Planning was 1,630, and ours was 1,603. Lots of threes in that one, but that's where it is. Going out to 2023 at 1,740 and 1,578. So ours is quite a bit lower than theirs. And 2027 is 1,850. And then the system-wide total, right now we have, our actual is 3,661. Maryland Department of Planning projected us at 3,650, so we were 11 off of that. And our internal projections were 3,635. Going out 5 years, planning has us at 3,590, and we have an increase, actually, of 3,691. So, and then going out further, 3,710 is where the planning is for going out 6 years, but you can certainly have that.
So, Matt, I'm sorry. Well, I just threw a quick question before I forget. Out 5 years, you said the Maryland Department of Planning had you at 3,590?
Mm-hmm.
And your projection is 3,691?
Yeah.
Most of the numbers you cite were pretty consistent throughout. Why is it off of 100 on that one?
I will go to our data.
Well, we use different things to try and project it. I think Mr. Pogg, and I gave him my only copy, but they use several different things. In fact, I asked them specifically when they were here, not this past Friday, but the Friday before, and they have population projections, birth information, compulsory attendance, those kinds of things. We do averages and look at what has come in for kindergarten, what we've lost each year seniors graduate. They use a different kind of a formula for the loss of students from the start of high school to the end of high school, where I would imagine that a state formula, other districts probably lose a lot more than we do. We've been pretty good there. We haven't had nearly what the state has in losing those students when they graduate. So that's probably where we're off.
It's just odd, though, that you're within 4 or 5 or 11, and all of a sudden it's up to 99.
I thought so, too. Yeah. But we use different things in our planning. When I emailed it to Mr. Paul, I said, my guess would be somewhere in the middle would probably be where we would land eventually in the five-year projection.
Thank you. Sorry.
No, that's okay. I just wanted to say a couple things about the enrollment projection. So if we look at the more conservative numbers in the Maryland Department of Planning that we adopt as part of our facilities plan, I think totals are important. Actually, absolutely, as Matt was saying, when you look, you know, at 2027, that 3,710. But I would really like to draw your attention to what that means, where that growth is. And if you look at kindergarten, first, second, third, fourth, and fifth, if you look at the projections from the more conservative estimate from Maryland Department of Planning, that's an increase of 222 students, give or take, from today to 2027, just in kindergarten to fifth grade. So what that means is, where is your difference? Those numbers, based on projections, if you look at kindergarten and fifth, it mirrors what it looked like in our system in 2007, when we had 4,400 students in our school. Now, I'm not saying we're there yet, but I'm saying that an after effect of the worst downturn in the history of our system is still working its way through the system. And I don't know if those front end numbers, kindergarten to fifth, are going to be normative, but they look a lot more like 2007 than they look like 2017. Now, I don't know, we don't project out what that continues to look like if you're going to get kindergarten to fifth as well, like another group coming through at that same number. But if it did, when those work out of the system, you could make a really good argument that things have normalized, and you want to pay close attention to your kindergarten through eight capacity. This has been such a difficult exercise for us and the poor administration that have had to ask for our data, and which sometimes is like crystal ball work, But I think you all can appreciate the fact that we don't want to do things to our facilities that would end up closing schools and come back here in a few years and say, parents are really upset, everybody, because things are full. And we made a knee-jerk reaction in the most difficult time we faced as a school system. I think we're honestly trying to get a handle on this enrollment, because if that's what it looks like 5 and 7 years out, it's more revenue for us. I mean, I think we're trying to get the narrative of whether should we be talking like it's 2007 to 2012, like the bottom's falling out, or are things kind of normalized and we're trying to get a sense of how to manage through another 3 or 4 years of stability and hopefully some growth moving forward. So I just wanted to add that up. That's how I have been kind of interpreting the enrollment data. Thank you.
But just to make sure I understand, so you said plus 222 K-5, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Do that's what? From the department planning.
That's from the department. You guys can.
May I approach?
Yeah. That's what they say on Judge Judy, yeah. Jim. What do you think I do with my free time now?
Is that a sad boy?
I guess my question is, if that's a department planning number, mm-hmm. and they show, looking out 5 years, the system-wide enrollment going down to 3590, does that mean there's just...
It's working through the system.
Growth in the next 5 years.
We have growth, we have projected growth coming into the system, and we're moving out some of our lowest classes. Now,
And that 222, is that in one specific geographic area? Which school?
I don't know how they do that planning on that. I don't think they do it.
Those are just wrong.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I'm getting too much into that.
Yeah, I don't think they give us any of that kind of. It'd be helpful if we can have that kind of information.
Thank you.
So you had one other questions there on assurances over the next 20 years. So as you're aware, when we do the school funding projects, and we ran into this, this is part of the Dennett Road situation, that once we do these projects, that does put debt on the building for a certain length of time. one of the things that we are very careful in entering into any capital request is making sure that those are things that are going to serve us for the long term, and that we have, from everything that we know at this point, that would be every assurance that we have that we would continue those over the next 20 years. I don't know that there's anything that we would request that we thought was otherwise, and anything that we have requested, we have been careful to make sure that those are things that we feel are going to be definitely buildings that will be in use as we move forward. Do you have any other specific questions on that side of it?
Any other questions in relation to the capital and those questions? So I guess unless you have other discussion points, we'll move into your questions for us.
I think we'll do that and then have discussion at the end.
Sure.
End.
Okay. So the Board of Education submitted 10 questions to the Board of Commissioners. We'll go much the same. We'll just go down the list. Question number one was, what is the commissioner's vision during the next 4 years in office, and how does the school system fit into their vision? And I'll take that one, and I think the vision of this group of commissioners moving forward in the next 4 years is very similar to the last 4 years. Continued investment in infrastructure, particularly affordable housing and broadband internet, water and sewerage projects, which is the only way this county is going to grow, is if we have those water and sewer projects.
and to continue to try to keep operating the budget in a fiscally responsible manner. How does the school system fit into the vision? I think the school system fits into the vision much the same as they have in the last 4 years, providing a high-quality education to the residents of the county, preparing students for college and 21st century jobs, which I'm very confident in saying that the school system is doing a very good job of, and gets recognized for that quite frequently. And a tip of the cap to the staff that's here for making that happen. So I think that's the vision moving forward. We said in the very beginning, one of our major goals was to try to grow the population. Rome wasn't built in a day. We've been at about 30,000 residents for the last 40 years. We're now under 30,000. You're not going to go from 29,752 to 35,000 overnight because you didn't get there. Our vision is the only way we're going to get there is a big part of it is through affordable housing. And when I say affordable housing, don't mistake that for government subsidized housing. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about that rent group from approximately $600 to $1,200 to $1,300 a month. We've implemented some housing programs that we think have worked very, very well. I think we helped 113 families purchase homes here. I said this 1,000 times, working in the school system, which I'm very proud of, and you hire young teachers, and the first thing they do is move to Springs, Pennsylvania, or Terre Haute, West Virginia, or Morgantown, and you ask them why, and they say, because they can't afford to live here. So we implemented a housing program. We were able to capture and either keep or bring in about 113 families. If you look at the demographics in that, most of them fall within the wheelhouse we were trying to get to, which is that childbearing age group. Not all of them, but a lot of them were. And a lot of people were able to stay in the area that probably wouldn't have been able to otherwise. So we're pleased with that. We're looking now at some more affordable rental units. Quality rental units, which we think the county desperately is lacking in right now. In those places that do exist, people move into them, they never leave because they're nice and they're affordable. And the places that they do leave are either not so nice or not so affordable. So if you're a new person looking to move in, that's basically what the stock is for you to select from. So we're trying very hard to try to correct that. And then, of course, the water and sewer and broadband and those things that are now very important, roadways, etc.
Your affordable housing projects, is that targeted in certain areas or is it municipalities or what are you looking at?
We've made a serious commitment to municipalities because that's where the infrastructure is and where most of the stock is. To go into Biddinger and try to put a 100 rental unit that would be on well and septic would be very, very difficult to do. So we have to try to stay within areas that have water and sewer treatment facilities, etc. We're working right now on a project here in Oakland that ultimately I think is going to lead to 100 either renovation or creation of about 100 rental units, give or take. But part of that is 12 of them are market rate rentals through community action. I'm working with a developer in Grantsville that's looking at doing somewhere between 20 to 40 market rate rental units. We've talked about some things in Friendsville and accident with Community Action as well. Community Action provides a conduit that makes it easy to public-private partnership to be able to do things that trying to do it strictly through government sometimes makes it difficult to do.
It almost has to be in the incorporated municipalities because of the state's smart growth priority funding. If we want to get any financial help from the state, it's got to be in a PFA priority funding area.
And that certainly dovetails with one of our priorities too, of keeping schools in our communities. I think that's one of the things that we're trying to do.
Jim, you want to take number? I'm sorry, Larry, you want to take number two?
Second question is, what is the commissioner's opinion on the need for community schools? I think we've always been committed to our community schools. I don't think there's ever been a question about that. I think one of the things that you have to ask yourself is, what is a community school? Is it a Broadford or a Southern Middle? Or to me, a community school is a Friendsville, an Accident, and Grantsville. These are community schools where if you close one of them, it affects the community. Talk to the people in Kitzmiller, and they're going to tell you it affected them. Not too sure how much it affected Bloomington, but Kitzmiller, I think it affected the community when that school was closed. So, but you can only, and this is where I'll put an if in there, you can only keep schools open as long as they're viable. If enrollment drops, and Nate, I hope your projections are true, because that just means things are getting better for the county. But if enrollment drops in a school, any school, to a certain level, there comes a time when you have to look at closing a school. So I will say that. But as far as a commitment to keeping these schools open, I think all three of us are very committed to it.
Can we just kind of jump in?
Yeah, I'm trying to say
something. I think since we're getting along, I mean, I'm leaving, but we're getting along so well today. I think it would be nice also, and I know we'd always open an invitation because I know you hear about the numbers and you have a recognition of where things were in the past. I think it would be great to get the commissioners out, and I know the Board of Ed would welcome that, walk around to see some of our community schools, see how your sense when you actually see it, how they're being utilized, and the number of students. I don't think we have many places where we're under 20 or so students in a class, but I think that would be a great thing after this as well, if you were all interested to get a chance to get out and see our schools, because the numbers are one thing, and then actually seeing the building, how well they're maintained, how we've worked really hard to find those efficiencies, to maximize use of our teachers, to try to find a way to maintain these viable, because I think we share an agreement that if you make some of the wrong moves with some of these type of schools, it's going to undermine all the great things Paul was talking about that you're trying to do to bring families in, because in the same way, they're not going to come in for the housing, they're not going to come into a community like that and be able to walk to the school. That's why you move to a municipality like that.
Yeah, and with talking about the numbers and viability, and I don't know where you think that number is, I'm not gonna put you on the spot necessarily with that, but I do think one of the things you have to consider is sometimes we run into these things where state funding often is on 80% capacity or something like that, and we built these schools bigger at a time, and why should, I guess from our perspective sometimes, is why should we punish these communities because we built schools that were too big when we, that was a past mistake that we made for sure, but we shouldn't really punish them just because they've built, we have some larger schools. And so one of the things we want to look at too, and ways that we might be able to partner even with economic development in that sense, is what can we do with some shared and community resources within some of these buildings and find ways that we can kind of take away some of those capacity issues in that way. So that's one of the other things that we would like to explore, and through the strategic planning process is something we really want to look at.
You know, in the absence of parks and recreation things and facilities in this county, which, you know, we have college obviously with the CART, but most of those community schools, that is the hub of the community. If that school is closed, that community loses itself. I can speak personally about it, because when I grew up, I lost the high school in the community I lived in. And I built a new high school 7 or 8, 10 miles away, and within 5 years, the community was dead. It's still dead today. And it died. You could see it dying, because people no longer came to the community. So, you know, from my standpoint, I see the school as the most important thing that goes on in most of these small communities. It's everything to those communities. I understand what you're saying, but there could come a point in time, but I do not believe we are at that point in time.
Didn't mean to imply that we are.
Yeah, it could happen.
I think that, I really think that when you close a community school, it hurts the community, and I do not disagree with that one little bit.
Yeah, they're important parts of every community.
Yeah,
as has been a lot of the discussion today, my being on the board for a long time, we'll bring that back up again. But as you know, during my time, we have closed a lot of schools. Lock Lynn, Red House, Bloomington. I mean, I can go back over and name those for you and see that some of those communities tried to hang on to those buildings and use them. But then most, like Lock Lynn and Red House, they were unable to do that. I think that we need to really look at this because it seems like your plan is to grow, and your plan is to grow the population that we're talking about closing schools. So if we could use other methods of using the facility and still keep the school and part of the school in it, I think we really need to do that because as we can see with Bloomington, there was a nice building there, but the community could not take on that building because of cost that would be to them. So the only way we could get them to take that area was to take the building down. Which, you know, there was a lot of years left in that building, and thank goodness Kitzmiller's been able to use their building. But yes, it's a community tie that I think we have figured out over the years, very painfully at sometimes, that it really is something that we want to try to hang on to. Also, I think that while we're trying to grow our area, and one of the things that people do come here for is because they've heard of the school system that we have here and the opportunities that kids have. I think we need to realize that is important, and people are looking at that as part of their choice in coming. Thank you.
At the risk of being the bad guy and being perceived as being very negative, obviously, I mean, I understand and appreciate the value of community schools, but it also at some point comes down to what can we reasonably afford to do? And where do you want to spend your money? Is it on bricks and mortar, or is it on teachers and classroom instruction? I'm not suggesting closing schools, but it's not as simple as just saying, oh, we're going to keep all our community schools. I don't know what the answer is. Most of the schools I went to, I'm pretty old, so I went to elementary school at Center Street, it's closed. I went to Dennett Road, it's closed. I went to school up at the annex where you all used to be, it's closed. I think we saw something one day at one point in time there were 93 schools in Garrett County.
Right.
It's part of the evolution. Within where I live at Swallow Falls, there were three schools within about 2 miles of my house. So what we're seeing is just kind of the evolution of, the analogy for me is, I don't want to get in trouble here, but the analogy for me is, my grandparents ran a little country store down at Swallow Falls for like 40 years. Mm-hmm. It got to the point where selling 2 gallons of milk and 3 loaves of bread, you know, and running 3 refrigerators, an ice cream cooler and a pop cooler, wasn't practical anymore. Okay. So I think the overarching goal or aim has to be to preserve our community schools, but we also have to look at what's the economic viability of that in terms of how much.
Right.
Can we raise taxes? How much can we do to sustain and keep those schools?
Right, and I think that's part of the strategic plan,
I hope.
The SWOT plan that we have looked at is, and if you read, I've read several different articles, a lot on this, and it says that closing schools is the easy way out. That's the first thing that's thought of here. So we need to get away from that. We need to get away and start looking at, does it really save money? We need to look at we need dollars, we need data on this before we move. We need to be able to tell people exactly how we are going to save, because I don't think we can go back and, I mean, Dennett Road, we had a debt on it, so we had to keep it, so then we've been able to do other things with it. So that's part of talking, you know, maybe looking at what we can add to that school rather than closing the school to make it beneficial to the community and to help out with maintaining. Because maintenance is something on buildings that you have to accept when you have a school system. You can't get out of it. And we know since, 2000, whenever it was that we went to the 50-50, after Northern Middle. That's the last thing that we've been able to do in the system. So once it went to the 50-50 from the 75 state and 25 county, it went to a place where we figured out that that's really going to be hard for us to come up with those type of monies to do anything. So if you look at the school system, nothing big has been done since then. So we have to figure out to keep what we've got and do the best we can with that.
I agree. It's a bit of a dilemma because we rank ninth in the state in spending per pupil.
Mm-hmm.
We rank 20th or 21st in terms of most measures of per capita income, household income, and all those kind of things. So we're already spending a lot of money on education.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that.
Yes, thank you.
The other dilemma again that you hit on too is, in a modern age, if you close a community school, that doesn't necessarily mean those students are going to end up going to the school you're going to send them to. Because now they have options. You can homeschool, you can get virtual school. There are a lot of options.
Yeah.
that some parents may say, I moved to this small community for a small community school, you took it away, I'm going to homeschool my child. So it doesn't transition into anything that's helpful for the system because you lost students. And I'm not saying that would always happen, but there is that possibility of that happening.
Agreed.
And I think it has happened with the closures. If you look at the number of homeschool students that we have now, we've never had that many.
I'll just make a couple of comments. That's a lot to digest there. First of all, I think it's safe to say one thing everyone in this room can agree 100% on is that no one here wants to close any schools. I think we can all agree on that. The problem's going to come, and it's been the problem since Maryland put the system in place that it put in place, is that there's a finite amount of money. And this board is charged with determining what that amount's going to be via collections, and your job via charge by the charter is to request the amount of money you feel is needed for the school system. And I can almost assure you, as well as I'm sitting here, it's not going to be the same amount of money. It's not Allegheny County, it's not Baltimore City, it's not Dorchester County, it wasn't 5 years ago, it wasn't 10 years ago, it wasn't 20 years ago, and it won't be 20 years from now. That's the nature of the beast. So meetings like this are very important so that we can start the dialogue in how we do what we need to do. I would actually disagree, and I might get criticized for this. I don't think closing schools is the easiest thing to do. I think it's the hardest thing to do. I think just having a conversation is very difficult. When you go out to Swan Meadow or Friendsville or Route 40 or Grantsville or Broadford, fill in the blank, and you tell them we're going to close your school, I think that's probably the hardest, absolute hardest thing you'd have to do. I do think it's an easy thing to look at first.
Yes, that's
right. But I think it's much harder to do.
Well, I know.
And I'll go back to my previous statement that I don't think anyone here is in favor of that, and we'll try to do everything we can in our power to help prevent that. But I can't sit here, and I don't think my partners can, and say that that's never going to be part of the conversation, because there is a finite amount of cash. And on top of the school system, we've got roads and bridges and everything else that we need to put money into as well. And when you look at the amount of money saved on a school, no matter what we do with it, and I like the idea of can you do other things with the school, one caution I would put to that, and Bill, chime in if I'm speaking incorrectly, if you pull part of the building out of educational use to use for something else, you also lose that percentage in the state matching fund, true or false?
I believe that's true, yeah.
Yeah. Now, if you utilize it continuously for education within the confines of the school, I'll give you an example. If Ruth and Lowe Library wanted to come in and partner with Friendsville Elementary School, and it was still the school library, but it was also open to the public, that's a different conversation than saying we're going to give this half of the school to Meals on Wheels and we're going to use it for that. We would lose that percentage because it wouldn't be used for education.
Right, and we have those daycares that we've placed in the schools,
right,
also.
Which is a great idea, by
right,
the way.
Right, and I think at Dennett Road, by having Head Start there, it has kept it as a school, so we can, you know, we can benefit from that. So yeah, it would take some thought.
Right, so I, you know, we can sit here and we all agree on a lot of things, but some things are going to be easier said than done at the end of the day. And that's going to be the difficult part of the conversation. We all know it. And you know, look at Carroll County. I don't know, all you need to do is read the paper down there every day. It's a bloodbath in Carroll County. I appreciate the fact we don't have that here and really never have. It's not in our DNA so much, but I feel very strongly that community schools are very important. I would hate to see any of them close. But on the flip side of that, financially, our main job is to balance the budget. And that has to be said, although it's uncomfortable to say.
The good thing is, if you go through a good planning process, and maybe with the help of a consultant, at least you'll come to a thoughtful, it'll be a thoughtful process where you'll come to a conclusion about what we're all willing to support, versus just kind of rolling along doing the status quo because we don't really want to do anything. I'm not accusing you all of that. I'm just saying that's human nature, is to say it's more comfortable not to do anything. So,
yeah, and that's certainly our hope, that whatever we do would be this type of plan that has that, some things that maybe we haven't even thought of that could be things that the community can support.
Our other challenge to not want to do something is we have one of the best school systems in the state, and we balanced our budget. Also recognize this is another challenge that we're facing. We have aging buildings, but we have excellent outcomes. So when we're talking about tinkering with the system in different ways, or talking about closed schools, it's not just an economic consideration for us. We have some good balance in teacher-student ratios. We're doing interventions. We have Krelin that does really interesting things, and Friendville that does interesting things, and Northern Garrett Middle School with National Librarians of the Year. We're doing amazing things with the system. So if you see us wanting to be deliberate, it's our constituencies say to us, we have one of the best systems in the state, protect it. So when we come to you, that's obviously also in our mentality as well, just like the budget considerations are in yours.
Understood completely. Jim, you got number three.
As the commissioners are aware of enrollment declines over the past decade, what is being done from an economic development process to help attract families to the county? Paul's already talked, I don't want to be redundant. You know, we talked about housing. You know, we have the scholarship program that I think's an added incentive. We have a relatively new economic development director, sharp guy, a lot of good experience, good background. He's engaged in updating the strategic plan, which I think will be helpful to all this. I think we've already talked about this, you know, when people look at where they want to live, it's, can they afford to live there? Is there affordable housing? Do they have good schools? Is it a safe environment? And then from there, it gets to less important things like the weather and, you know, are you Democrat or Republican or whatever? I don't know. So
it's more like you change the weather, Jim.
I have to say though, I don't think we want to put too much faith in the idea that economic development is going to have a major impact and save us from having to address this where we're at. From 2000 to 2010, and this is by the Department of Labor Licensing Regulations numbers, Garrett County businesses created 3,000 new jobs. I think it was a 17% increase. I think maybe we led the state in terms of job growth. I know we did for rural counties for sure. During that period, we had declining enrollment, even though we created 3,000 new jobs. You know, what Mike Huff is trying to do in economic development now is we're trying to be more selective in creating new jobs. And right now we have more jobs than we do people. If you go talk to just about any employer, they'll tell you they could hire more people if they could find them. People show up for work, some cases pass a drug test, some are businesses even quit giving a drug test now. I mean, it's just, so it's not jobs. And when Closet Made came here, they employ 200 and...
They're almost 300. Now.
Almost 300 people. They brought like two people with them. So the idea that a new employer is going to come in and bring a significant number of people with families, it's just not going to happen.
And if I can interject, that goes back to the conversation. It's no longer you need the jobs to attract the people. we've got the job. We've got some very good paying jobs that are sitting idle. Part of that is people aren't moving here because they can't afford to live here. And that's why we're trying to tackle that, because the ancillary piece of that is if you get hired as a doctor here at the hospital and you choose to live here instead of in Morgantown and you have a spouse, then they theoretically would also work here rather than Morgantown. If you had a couple teenage kids, they would work here and not in Morgantown, and they would also buy their stuff here, which might spark more economic output.
And I think the broadband thing we're working on is really, really important in terms of future jobs. And we've been investing a lot of money in that. We have some good partners in that, and I know a lot of people are unhappy with it right now, the access to broadband, but for a rural jurisdiction, we're actually doing very well.
Leading the nation.
And the things we have in the works, it's going to get better. So that's going to be critical to growing those jobs in the future that Paul's talking about, and the better paying jobs. So, you know, I'm just going to roll into four if that's okay, and then I'll take whatever questions.
Oh, well.
From the commissioner's perspective, what can the board do to help economic development? What can the Board of Education do? Just to continue to do the things you're doing, I think, produce kids that are prepared to go to college or go to work. Work with local employers to identify what their needs are and to identify shortcomings in terms of when the people come to them from school, you know, what are they missing? What do they need? Where are they short? And I think you're doing a good job of talking to businesses and working on that right now. We know that I read somewhere like 80% of the jobs in the future are going to require some kind of education beyond high school. You know, you can't go beyond high school unless you have a good base to get started from. So I think you just need to keep doing the things that you're doing. And we need to, you know, do what we're doing, try to improve on that, maybe expand some of those programs. But Paul said, you know, it's going to happen gradually. It's not going to happen real quick. There's no silver bullet to this. There's nothing economic to be. They're competing with every other, there's 3,000 in some counties, I think, 3,371 county equivalents in the country. Most of the rural counties, rural jurisdictions are in the same situation. Well, in fact, a lot of them are worse off than we are. We're very fortunate for a rural jurisdiction in terms of where we're at, unemployment, educational attainment, all those kind of things. I think we pretty much identified some things that we have to work on to get better, to attract people here. But it's going to be a slow, gradual process, and there's not going to be any, I would predict, any great significant uptick in enrollment because of economic development. It could kind of solidify where we're at and steady where we're at and prevent losses. You know, I had a meeting today. We're working with, I think there's 150 kids from Garrett County going to Frostburg State. We're working with the Hub Zone Council, National Hub Zone Council, to try to create internships for those kids at Frostburg State so that they can hopefully get a job and stay here. They'll be able to telework and stay here. Those are the kind of things we're trying to do. And we're open to any ideas anybody else has. But the demographics are probably the biggest challenge we face. I know people are tired of hearing me talk about that. Annually more deaths than births for like the last 10 years. So even if you keep everybody, you still have a problem. And the aging population that Paul talked about, our population's only steady around a little under 30,000. It's steady because we have older people that are coming here and retiring here. That's 3 and 4.
Yeah, and I think as far as the focus on affordable housing, and I think that's an excellent strategy. And I think, you know, the question of how can we attract people, and people like Dr. Sorber, who work in Morgantown but chose to live here, and part of the reason they do that is because of the school system. I think recognizing that we do have some advantages in our school system, even over some of the surrounding school systems, to handle that.
And I think it would be, I'm sitting in such a partnership mood. I think it would be another continued place of partnership to think about how that idea, we can help the county commissioners market that to people who look at this as a, whether it's, you know, they're moving here for the schools as we engage with economic development, and how can we help do that work as well to put forth what we're doing to the various audiences.
The one thing I didn't mention that people look for when they're going to live somewhere is healthcare, the quality and availability of healthcare. And there's certainly been a lot of progress on that, so I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that.
All right, Larry, you got number five.
All right. Number five, the question, in the 2008 County Comprehensive Plan, one of the goal's objectives includes maintaining and upgrading school facilities to high standards, regardless of projected system-wide declines in enrollment. Are the commissioners willing to commit to this? Quite frankly, I think we've kind of already answered that and what we've said earlier, that, you know, we are committed to continuing to have, I think, the best school system in the state of Maryland. And, you know, whether it's, I got to feel that the teachers, the administrative staff, school board, all these people have to be committed to that also. And they are, because you look at the students, you look at what we're putting out in this county, look at the robotics teams that we have, look at the sports teams that we have. Garrett County just stacks up against anybody. And I don't care who says any different, we do. In the standards of education that we have, is as good as anybody can get. We have great teachers and we have great instructors, so we are committed to this. And as far as the schools themselves, Jim said this earlier, you know, do we cut back on teachers? Do we cut back on staff simply to keep a school open or keep a, I don't know, I don't want this to sound negative, but bricks and mortar is one thing. Kids are something else. And the kids is what we got to look out for. And I think we're doing an excellent job at this. And I think we're committed to that. And, you know, that's just my opinion of where Garrett County is with this. And do we want to back down from it? No, we do not. I know we've said it before and we'll say it again, and it always comes down to finance, and we can only do what we can do. But we want to make the best use of the finances we have. And Charlotte, I think your idea is a great idea. If we can develop something else in some of the schools that might be at risk, I would support that 100%. Absolutely support it.
I've heard you repeatedly say about it's good when the kids or students graduate, they can go right to work and get a job. That's important, but we got to start, remember, elementary school. Elementary school is where the strong foundation starts for our kids. So our elementary schools and their education is just as important. And I do encourage you all, I know Mr. Edwards has been on middle school and high school more, but like Dr. Sorber said, you really got to come to our schools. You really need to see all of them to totally understand where we're coming from. Go to the schools and see our schools, besides the maintenance. I mean, we all have maintenance. We have to maintain our own houses, our own vehicles. It's just part of life. You got to maintain your body. You got to go to the eye doctor, the dentist. It's no different than our schools. Probably the schools that were built. Yes, we do have older schools, but I'm very proud of them. We take pride in them. They are very well maintained. So that's not why we're here today. They're not falling down. They're not unsafe. We are here for our capital projects. But again, back to the buildings. I'm sure they are built better than if we built a new one today. I'm being honest. The materials today are not the quality they was years back. We're not asking for Cadillac school. You know, I seen something before, keep saying it, versus Cadillac versus the Buick. We was told, we're not here to build a new high school, but just to get the dollar amount in our mind, if you build a high school, it would be a 10 to 12 year project, $135 million just to build a school. And the price could probably fluctuate. So when you look at the importance of our schools, and I know we talked about other counties and districts, but we're unique. First off, we said numerous times a year, our kids get a great education. Our scores, all the things our students are learning, they're doing, it's something to be proud of, and we are. Sorry, I have so much stuff written here. And I know, maybe I'm jumping a little bit, and I know you're asking for a plan from us, but it's pretty hard. I mean, we are working on that, and we are making sure we're going through everything, asking all questions, getting all kind of information. But one of the key parts here is we need to actually have an amount from you to work with for capital projects. So I mean, in the long run, I believe it would be, it's better for the school system, this is me speaking, to keep maintaining your buildings like we are doing than to go, like we're not asking to build new buildings, we're not asking to make, build on things. We're just here basically for capital projects to maintain our buildings. And then years ago, things were great. Like Ms. Siebold had said, you know, this was split with 75% from the state, 25% from the county. We can't, things are dealt to you, things are dealt to us. We didn't build the buildings when they were built. It's not just how it is. It's like the middle school and Bradford were built at the same time. So again, I do really think it would be great if you could go into schools and see what great things are going on to understand. And something different from us, from other counties, is our distance. You know, our areas, Garrett County's a pretty big region. So that's another reason why our schools are also spread out. And then before, you said you're not for closing schools, and we know closing schools in the past just caused more issues. You know, we had overcrowding, affordables had to be out at Bradford, and I know you said it's not about the bricks and mortar. It's not, because if you actually look at the cost of the building, the utilities, everything to maintain it, more of it's in your staff, and you said about staff, in our budget, we've cut people. We've eliminated staff, the retirements, we did absorb positions, but things are different. You know, we have need more assistance. I'm not sure what all you've heard about things, but the behavior, there's more behavior. You know, so you do need more assistance. There's different things, and there's more, like we said before, mandates, different things that we have to.
excuse me. You alluded to the fact that we're turning out very good students.
We are.
You don't turn out very good students if you don't have a foundation and a base to start with. If they don't start in first, second, third grade, kindergarten, whatever, if they don't start and excel there, they're never going to excel. I'll guarantee you that. So I'm not disagreeing with you at all. I'm saying to continue to put out students that we do, they have to have that base, they have to have that foundation to start with. So, you know, again, going right back to community schools are important. Mm-hmm. And I've said that over and over. I also have, if any other comment, but I also have number six.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
Before you do have number six, but before we go on to that, I want to piggyback off of what Monica said, because I think it's a great illustration of why we're here and why we asked for a strategic plan, because you just mentioned two things that maybe in hindsight might have been done different or been done not done at all, who knows, but we closed Dennett Road. And then we find out, you know, that there's debt on the building, and then we put more money into Dennett Road that could have been put into these other schools. We moved kids into Bradford and then realized we need to add portables. I think they were $1 million, if my memory serves me correctly. And I'm sure there was foresight done in that. I don't dispute that people didn't do their homework then or anything else. But we could probably sit here and Monday morning quarterback some of that stuff and say, wow, we probably spent X amount of money that we might have been able to put into Bradford's roof, or take your pick of the projects.
that we put into something else. And I think that goes right to the heart of the strategic planning process. It's very, very important to do this and do it right, so that if we do put X amount of money into school X, that we don't have to turn around and put another amount of money into school X, and that school X is still there 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now. That's the whole genesis of this operation. And I think those two projects that you mentioned are a good reason for that. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think that really gets to the crux of what this partnership really has to be about.
And I think along with that, what we're looking for through the community engagement process, and this gets to the point, Larry, I know we're not far off on community schools, and but this, you know, the concept of bricks and mortar, I would say, you know, in some communities it is more than bricks and mortar. You know, to Kitzmiller, where I'm from, that was more than bricks and mortar. And so I think what we need to hear through our process that will also help you in your funding process is, where does our community want to invest? Is this an investment that they want to make to keep the community schools open? And I think that we need to listen to those voices to say, if that's the investment that we want to make, then that's the direction we need.
And one final thought, and I agree, Mr. Paul, completely. One final thought on that. When you look at the strategic plan, and I know oftentimes it's talked about, well, we can't plan 15 years out because we don't know what the enrollments are going to do. And I think I agree with that. It's pretty customary in most counties, they come in and give a 5, 10, 15, 20-year plan. They do it every year, and then, of course, that 10, 15, 20 changes as time goes on. But it's trying to give a projection of, this is what we anticipate the footprint looking like 20 years from now, to eliminate those issues that we just talked about. The other thing it does is, we're looking at the next 5 years, and I think we're looking at $27 million of local commitment. There's some other issues that we can talk about later. But that's just for the next 5 years, because once we get to the end of that 5 years, then we're looking at another 5 years. And there's a lot of schools that aren't on this list that I'm sure have a lot of deferred maintenance on them that need addressed at some point in time. And if we don't look, we can't just look at 5 years in isolation, because there's 5 years after that and there's 5 years after that. And if we raise taxes 7% to pay for the $27 million you need now, and 5 years from now you come back and need another $30 million, that's untenable. We can't do that. And so I think that's the reason why we really have to look at this a little bit longer term. I think that's an excellent point, Dr. Sorby, you made earlier, is that those numbers, that's why it's important to look at 5, 10, and 15, because we need to see what those younger classes are going to look like as we move through that period of time. Because you're right, you build a school or close a school, you're pretty well committed to that for a while. And if you screw that up, you've screwed that up for a long time. And you're paying for that for, in the case of a bond, 30 years. That's a 30-year screw-up. So we've got to be very strategic in how we look. I'm sorry, Larry, I stole your thunder on number six.
I think he answered that.
It says, number six, is provided that the board is committed to a data-driven, community-engaged process in formulating the strategic plan, will the commissioners commit to helping to implement the recommendations adopted by the board? And I think this just goes right back to where, when Matt was talking there earlier, that, you know, if you come up with a plan that's data-driven and present that to us in a 5, 10, whatever, we're definitely committed to that, to the point that our finances will allow. I mean, if your data-driven plan comes back and says, hey, you need to build one high school in the county, and it's going to cost you $60 million to do that, we're probably not going to support that, because we can't. So, but as far as, you know, within reason, absolutely we're going to support it. So,
let me just...
Pretty short answer on my part.
Yeah, let me add something to that, at the risk of getting in trouble. We provide you a little over 50% of your budget, your operating budget, and then capital on top of that. Mm-hmm. I think you get about, Scott, is it 34%? You get about 34% of our budget.
Yes.
So what we need, and I guess maybe hopefully this meeting is kind of a step in that direction. We need some kind of partnership where we can discuss these kind of things with you, where you don't come in. What we don't need is for you to come in and give us, and I'm not saying you would do this, but a gold-plated plan that means we have to raise taxes 7, 8, 9, 10 cents to implement it. Because then we're probably going to say, and here's the other thing that that sometimes people don't think about. About 64% of our real estate tax base comes from the Dew Creek Lake watershed. About 80% of those people don't live here. And so a lot of people's thinking is, hey, screw them, they don't live here, let's hit them and get more money off of them, you know. But at some point, it's not going to be viable to have a vacation home if we've raised taxes too much. They're not only paying taxes, a lot of them are paying ad valorem tax for water and the sewer. So some of them are paying the tax rate that we pay, plus another 15-20% on top of that. And they don't live here full time. And they don't vote, but we do have to answer to them. We do represent them. So I guess what I'm trying to say is it has to be a plan that's affordable. You know, we've already said we're willing to borrow money if we have to, but we can't. You know, a few years ago, we looked at, I'm sorry I'm getting so long-winded here, but a few years ago, there was a proposal to renovate, modify Southern Middle School, and the price tag was $42 million, I think. Our share was $32 million, which meant, first of all, we're going to have to go to the legislature to get permission to borrow the money because we can't borrow that much money. It also meant, I think, at 30 years, $1.7 million a year in debt service, which meant we'd have to raise taxes 3 or 4 cents. Okay, so now in this capital plan, there's $26 million for Broadford Elementary School. You know, there's just no way we can do all that. And so that's why I think we've got to be part, I would hope that you confide in us and make us part of the planning process to the extent that you can. We're not trying to run the school system. That's your all's job. I don't want to run the school system. But we're going to have to work together to come up with a solution that works for everybody.
That young lady had her hands up.
Oh, thank you for noticing.
She'll say something smarter than I will.
I just had a comment about, you know, we're talking about all these decisions that we've made in the past and about how we decided not to do the Southern Middle project because we would have had to raise taxes. We also heard in a previous board meeting that $1 in preventative maintenance saves $3 later, something like that.
Right.
And you kind of have to think, if we had done the renovation then, would we just keep pushing it back and pushing it back? And I understand, you know, we don't want to raise taxes, we have to balance a budget, I understand all of that, and I also just wanted to say that we need to make the best possible decision so that we don't keep pushing things under the rug, for lack of better words, so that later it comes back and it's a bigger problem than it would have been.
That's one of the reasons why we asked for a plan.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think back to Ms. Rinker's point, and it kind of touches on yours, you know, it's difficult for us to give a number because that number exists in a five-year vacuum. And we know that this plan can't exist in a five-year vacuum because there's going to be more deferred maintenance coming at us. I don't even know what, Bill, what's 8 years, what's next on the list after Broadford? I don't have any idea, but I'm sure there's someone coming in right behind them. All of our buildings, not all of them, a lot of them are relatively the same age. Northern Southern High Schools are older, but they've also went through renovation in the 80s and 90s, so that kind of brought them back up. Obviously, Northern Middle, Route 40 are pretty new, but Crellin's not a spring chicken. Grantsville in 1980, I know that for sure. I'm sure Friendsville's got to be right around that same time frame, and now you're starting to look at 40, 45 years on a building, and I think the average shelf life's about 50. So you're going to be looking at 3 or 4 or 5 $35 million renovations all stacked up next to each other within the next 10 to 15 years. That's why we can't say in year 5 we can give you $10 million because we can't give you $10 million in 5 years, $10 million 5 years, more $10 million 5 years after that. That's why it's got to be a comprehensive plan that
looks out, and that we do have to raise taxes, one of these questions, I'll jump to it right now so we move along a little bit, are the commissioners willing to bond for the building and renovation of schools? Yes, we are. But it has to make sense, and it has to be financially responsible and reasonable to do. But I can sit here and say unequivocally, I'll speak for myself, but we have had this conversation. I'd be more than happy to go to the bond market to invest in our school system if it was under the right circumstances. And unfortunately, that kind of falls on this elected Board of Ed just by the nature of the beast, and then we have to be the one to go to the constituents and say, we're going to raise your taxes and pay for it. And neither one of those are real exciting.
You know, Jimmy, you brought up one thing, you know, that would we bring a gold-plated request to you? No, we wouldn't. We just wouldn't. 5-0, we're smart. I mean, we know.
Poor choice of words only.
Well, no.
Just trying to make a point.
Right, you make a good point. We would never do that. You know, that's part of the reason we want this consulting firm to come in to help us a little bit. To give us a reality check. And what's the reality of what the data shows? And I think it's our job as the 5 elected board members to say, okay, this is what we'd like to have, but we're smart enough to know this is what the commissioner's going to afford. Okay? But it meets the needs of what we think our plan says that we want to have for the future. So, you know,
that's fair.
Yeah, I think I sat here last year when we were here to talk to you. You know, I'm committed, and I know we all are, to working with you, not against you. You know, Paul, you said it right. It's not in our DNA here in town. It just isn't. You know, we want to get along. We want to work together. You know, you can go 50 miles to the east and they forget all that.
Yeah.
All right? That just doesn't happen in this county.
I think Southern Middle School, I think that project kind of turned into a monster. It got bigger and bigger and bigger as we went along with it. And there was this, you get to a point where it's hard to stop with adding on this and, oh yeah, let's get this and let's get this. I think the reality of the 50-50 and the reality of where we're at came to the top, okay? I think we've already experienced that, and we pretty much know that was another county's dream, maybe not the dream here. Not that we wouldn't love that for our students and all of that, but you've got to look at this county-wide as far as how it's going to affect not only their school life, but their home life also, as far as, you know, their family. So I think we need to be much more thoughtful about trying to work with what we have and realizing what we actually can do and how we can best serve. And if it's fixing the buildings that, I think this all came about with Southern Middle School, the need to renovate Southern Middle School. So then you start looking at, okay, well, if we just got turned down, so where do we go? Where do we go from here? And I think that's what this whole process has been, is if this is not going to happen, then what is going to happen? As you know, we've been looking at different grade band, different ways of distributing the kids to accommodate the facilities. That's not working real well. We're not getting a lot of folks interested in changing what we've got now, which is actually what we've talked about working very well for us. So what can be afforded, we need to work together on what can be afforded and what the needs are of the system as far as being able to maintain what we have and be able to move forward with that. So I think there's give and take, I think. And I think there's some lessons from the Southern Middle situation.
I would agree with that, and I would be remiss, and I know you guys know this, but I hope most of the people in the audience does, because we talk about it so much. But even on a renovation, it's not a build, it's really not a 50-50 split on the renovation. It's really a 75-25, and we're footing the 75 because they don't fund a lot of stuff involved in that. So even a renovation, no matter how big or small it is, gets very expensive based off of that. And you know, Katie was absolutely right. we put off another 5 years of doing Building A, it's three times as much when we get to that point. It's not twice as much, three times as much. Northern Middle School was a $7.5 million commitment from the Garrett County Board of or from the Garrett County Commissioners. Southern Middle School, even if you would have taken that one project out that people questioned, was still going to be a $20 million commitment. I mean, it grew exponentially in that time frame, and it was a 10-year, I don't even think it was 10 years when we looked at that. So we're aware of that, and that complicates it even more. I also say, unfortunately, I'm probably jumping the gun a little bit, you know, we know that the amendment passed to put more money in to school funding for capital with the ballot initiative. That may help us some. It's not going to be a cash cow for Garrett County at all. I know people are putting a lot of faith in Kerwin Commission. I can tell you, and Allison's gone, but we've looked at the numbers, and I've looked at the numbers with other commissioners from throughout the state, and unfortunately, if you look at those numbers right now, and it's changed a lot every week you look at it, we could potentially lose money, which is absurd in the broad scheme of things, but it's a potential reality that would complicate this decision, this discussion even that much more. So some of the things that 3 months ago people thought, wow, if we can get this initiative passed and we can get Kerwin passed and we can get a lot more money from the state, which obviously would help us, it doesn't look like that's going to happen the way that at least we wanted it to. And that's got to be part of the conversation. Because the idea that the state's going to come in here and save us is just fool. It's fool. They haven't yet, so what's going to change their mind any time in the future? Jim, you got stuff.
Okay. He's right, I do. Are the commissioners committed to join the board in state capital project request if the board decides based on strategic planning process to move the system forward with its current configuration of schools? I'd say in a nutshell, if it includes the current 5-year capital plan, the answer for me would be no, we can't afford it. Now, as we've said, we're willing to borrow money. We might even have to raise taxes, but it's gotta be a plan, capital plan that complements a strategic plan that we can have some confidence in. I probably should have found a better way to finesse that a little bit, but I don't know. I'll be shocked if I'll be shocked if the consultant comes back and says maintain the current configuration of schools. I don't think they will. I might be wrong. I don't mean to prejudge anything. But being a logistician and working with numbers most of my life, I think when they start looking at the numbers and stuff, I don't think they're gonna say that. I'm not saying that it means that we close the school, but there may be some reconfiguration of some kind. In other words, I guess said a better way is we can't just sign a blank check. You know, I've already gone through the numbers and the money we give you and what it means to us and everything, and I wouldn't be honest if I sat here and said, yeah, whatever you come in and ask for, we're going to write a check for. We're going to give it to you. I hope we've made it clear that we appreciate the school system we have. We support good schools. But as Larry has said, you know, it's got to be within the context of what we can afford to do. You might want to clean that up.
I don't know if I can.
No.
I think, you know, and again, I hate to keep going back to the need for a strategic plan, and I think to polish Jim's comments a little bit. Part of what I said previously on the design work. The design is our cost. And so if we design something that's 2 years out on construction and we pay for the design work now at fill in the blank the number, doesn't it, $20,000, $200,000, and then 3 years from now that doesn't make the cut for the plan, we just wasted $20,000. So it's difficult. It all comes back to the strategic plan and it making sense, and it's something that we can can pay for. And I will be very complimentary here and very sincere. I've heard multiple times all the board members talk about the need to be financially prudent and understand the you know, we're the third poorest county in the state per capita income. And you guys realize that. You all live here. You know that. It's your neighbors. I've heard you guys mention that multiple times, that I do think you're sensitive to that. And I appreciate that, because just some comments, you know, I think that's sincere. Again, knowing that moving forward, I think we understand it would be very difficult on a lot of people to go to one high school, one or two middle schools, one or two elementary schools. And I don't think anyone's calling for that. But at the same time, it's going to be very, very difficult to keep 13 or 14 buildings in the fleet, whether you're talking school, central office, Camp Hickory, maintenance buildings, et cetera, et cetera. We haven't even talked about the sewer plant at the Northern Complex. And that's our responsibility, and there's going to be a major expense there at some point in time, because those things aren't cheap. And there's a lot of ecological things that go into that. I don't even think it's on the CIP. I don't know if it is.
It is the following year.
It is that, and that next year out that I was talking about previously. So it's difficult. It's very difficult. And I did answer number 8 already.
Give me just a second. Let me be a little more articulate here in my what I was trying to say. This capital plan, if I'm reading it right, for 5 years totals $49 million. And there are some schools on it. Crelin, there's nothing here for Crelin. There's nothing here for Accident. There's nothing here for Yonka. So I guess that's what I'm trying to say. If it's $49 million and there are other things that aren't in here yet, then it's going to be difficult to do that.
We have talked about that, and there's possible adjustments to that, like the redoing Broadford, that's not a done deal. I mean, those are things that if you look at the chart of when it's time to do it, it could possibly be there. You know, and some of the places have like drive changing the roads into the school and things like that. But, you know, there's things there that are not the absolute things that we have to do. So I think that is a possibility of how you can, you know, you can prioritize and depending on the situation.
It'll be very interesting to see if you adopt a plan with the help of the consultant, what the associated 5-year capital plan looks like. It probably won't be this. So.
Just to the fact that you don't see all schools on here, that does not mean there's certainly other monies within our regular maintenance budget. So for mm-hmm. Friendsville, for Crelin, for Accident, that are ongoing, and many of those projects are done through the regular maintenance.
Bill's explained that at our prior meeting.
I just wanted for the public to.
But that doesn't mean that 6 years now you're not going to need a roof.
Not necessarily. Yeah, it doesn't rule those things out. But I will say, though, looking at those costs to Broadford, Southern Middle, those are going to be your biggest ticket schools for projects.
Can I just say, I just want to say about a couple data points. In my reflection of my short time on the board, I found the commissioners and the Board of Ed to be the strangest legally required relationship ever devised, in that you want to, you know, our expenditures, and I talk a lot about raising new revenue. It's easy for me to do because I don't have to face voters to do it. But the issue is still, it's become clear, it's clear to me that whatever that $49 million is not a good number for you, right? That's too much. Zero is not a good number for us, right? And I think also as we go through the planning process, our consultant's gonna look at different things, the board's gonna look at different things. We're also gonna look to the Board of Commissioners as what is the investment. I know there was a $1 million projected. Obviously, you had revenue changes. That's not something you were able to do. That's increasingly also difficult for us to plan as we talk with our partners, is what is that number? And I know you don't want to write a blank check, but it's also, we're in this really strange dance where we're trying to plan, and we don't know what your investment is, and you don't want to say too much. Not that a nefarious way, but I mean, like, that, there's the communications kind of breakdown. Like, I think this board would honestly, we had honest guidance on what your assessment was for your parameters in capital investment, it would go a long way for the board kind of planning out. And I know we're not talking about operating cost and maintenance of effort, and I know there's a part of, you know, elevator that makes you invest more as it changes. That's another part as well. And I, you know, I think if you look at your finances and you say that maintenance of effort is all you're going to be able to do for 5 years, then that's essential to the relationship for us to know publicly that that's your position. Because if you say, as you think of your investment, of a slight increase, that changes a lot of our calculus as well. So I think as we try to be really data-driven, I hope, you know, I invite you to be as well, the more transparent you can be about your investment strategy and where education will be in your five-year plan, will help us make a sense of giving you the plan that you hope you get. That's not a gold-plated plan and something that's reasonable.
Well, I think that's why we asked for a plan a couple years ago, so that we could know we could, that we're using money effectively. So,
to go back to Mrs. Siebold's comment about Broadford, and that's a great point too. On this request that we received, you know, it was an $851,820 request for Broadford. Part of that's A&E design and contingency, which is 100% local money, and then there's some state match. And if Broadford's not, I mean, we're still talking about maybe Broadford's there, maybe Broadford's not. We don't want to spend $851,820, and then 2 years from now or 3 years from now, where it falls on the plan, Broadford not be there. And that goes back to the dance, and you summed that up pretty well. It's what I talked about earlier. It's difficult for us to give a number, which if I were in your shoes, that's the first question I would have had when I come in, and it's the last question I'd have walking out. What's the number? We can't build a plan without the number. I talked to these guys about that earlier. I'll go back to how I answered it before, though. It's very difficult to give a number not knowing what year 6, 7, and 8 look like, because if there's nothing in 6, 7, and 8, the number now is different than if there's another $30 million in year 6, 7, and 8 of what we can give you now. And it doesn't help you, so it keeps your will spinning, and it keeps us, and that is it, welcome to Maryland. I mean, the converse of that's being Pennsylvania, where you guys would have the ability to raise taxes, and then that'd probably be lamentations with that as well. But that just struck me on the Broadford piece, because that's here, and that's part of the conversation. And I don't know how the consultant will look at that, but that's a real number tied to a real request, which goes back, I think, maybe to your very first question of how all of this, you know, ties together.
But the thing, if we look, we put a roof on Southern Middle School, because I think roofs are one of the most important things that we do, because once water gets into the facility, then you've got all kinds of problems. Right. So we understand the importance of putting roofs on, especially in Garrett County. I think any use, no matter what the, how it works out between Southern Middle and Broadford, I think it's important that that building is probably going to be used in some way, because I cannot see this county affording to tear down a building that is there, you know, that type of a building, but maybe that'll happen. But I think that a roof is going to have to go on that building anyway, no matter what is dependent, because, you know, once you let water in, then you might as well bulldoze the building down. So I think there's some thoughts, and that money again comes from you folks, and if we're in it, then half of it will come from the state.
And that I think goes back to Jim's repeated comments, and that's why we need a strategic plan and a partnership to have that conversation, to see if that $820,000 on a roof is an investment worth making, because that could be $820,000 that could go to the Southern Middle School project or something else. If indeed the thought was, well, we're going to abandon this, and I don't know what you're going to do, maybe the answer is to tear it down.
I don't know, but we don't know if we don't have the conversation, and we can't have the conversation if we don't have decisions. Back to the strategic planning piece. But you make a good, you make an excellent point. That's why we need to have, keep having these conversations. Yeah, I got number nine. In light of the board's letter to the commissioners dated June 26, 2018, do the commissioners recognize the right of the Board of Education to maintain all of its carryover funds as undesignated, unreserved? Do the commissioners recognize the board's right to withdraw from the December 11, 2008 Memorandum of Understanding, providing the Board of Education will maintain an undesignated, unreserved fund balance of $500,000? Excuse me. A couple of comments on that. The short answer is yes, which we've never withheld any of the carryover money since we've been in office, to the tune of $6.4 million over the last 4 years. We've never mandated to be spent any way, and we maintain that commitment. If we're funding you at maintenance of effort and you have money left over, it makes perfect sense that that's your money. And I do want to, I know some people, there's two ways to look at this, and I've worked in public education long enough to make this thing. Some people say, wow, we didn't spend $6.4 million. We need to spend more money. That's one way to look at it. I would tip the cap to the superintendent and her team for managing the finances in a fiscally prudent way to have that carryover. And we've shared the same thought process from the first year, that we want to reward that fiscal responsibility. We don't want to encourage you to not be so fiscally responsible. And I think that's a pretty remarkable number. And as far as the MOU and all that stuff.
What was the second way to look at it? You said there were two ways to look at it.
Well, one was that we should spend the money, and the other is that's a good thing. We saved the money. I do, you know, obviously, as you guys are well aware, and I know you all know, COMAR does mandate that if there is a carryover and you want to do a budget amendment, you still have to come to us. So it's the same thing, just written differently. But, yeah, we're on board with your letter and your request.
Yeah, and we truly appreciate the carryover. And since the time these commissioners, we've been in office, we've not had any issues with that. But we did want to have that in place, primarily and really because the maintenance of effort is the maintenance of effort. So that's money that would be to education. So if we're not going to be able to keep it, then we just spend it instead of trying to maintain a carryover.
We agree completely.
We want to have that understanding going forward with future commissioners.
Absolutely. Last question, probably the most complicated of all of them. Did the commissioners address the continuing rising cost of health care and its impact on their overall budget? As you guys well know, probably the number one rising cost that we all deal with is health care. As you also are well aware, Garrett County has the great fortune of having a coalition that has bucked the national trend. The national trend for healthcare increases is somewhere between 15 and 20% every year. Ours isn't anywhere close to that. So the coalition, whoever put that together many years ago, kudos, because that was a very wise decision. So what have we done collectively, which 99% of the things that we've done as a county, you guys have done too as a board of ed, with a few the main thing is we've tried to make plan design changes through the coalition as time goes on to try to address some of the costs up front instead on the back end. And we've implemented the wellness discount, incentivizing good health and those programs help bring the cost of the insurance down to the employee. We have had to increase some of the health care costs. Used to be that the cost to a single payer or the single person, if I was single in the school system or the county, I didn't have to pay for health insurance. We did away with that to try to offset some of that stuff. I know the college and the county, and this is one of those things that isn't uniform, and it's not uniform not because the school board, just for the audience, and not that the school board doesn't want to play nice in the sandbox. They've got a whole different, they have to negotiate their health care through the unions, which the college and the school and the county doesn't have to do. So it adds another layer of complexity and why there might be changes, because legally they're bound to things that others aren't. And one of those things was the OPEB post-employment benefit stuff. The college and the county, starting with new employees, I think July 1, said we're not going to carry that cost anymore, you know, 30 years from now, whenever this, those people retire. So I think the coalition and Jane's here and Scott and Allison and Davina and the college folks have done a, an excellent job of trying to, it probably spoiled us, to be very blunt. They've done such a great job. At some point, the healthcare costs are going to catch up with us. We've just dodged a bullet for a long time, and it's coming. And that'll be another complication, because that's going to impact, for the school board, that's going to impact the general fund. But we've talked mostly about capital money, and now we're going into a whole different category of money. And that's going to have, could have a significant impact. So we could be looking at, you know, a whole different conversation with that side of it. I think hopefully that answers that question. I'm not sure where you were trying to go with that, but I mean, I've got a specifics here, but 99.5% of them are exactly what the school board's already done for the health care. But that certainly is something that we're going to have to continue to work together on if we're going to collectively benefit each other.
Well, I think what we're trying to say is our operating budgets, you know, every year, obviously, it takes a bigger dent out of our operating budget. The other part that we've not addressed, too, is the dilemma that we face now in recruiting teachers. This year, I can tell you how many people that Jane brought to us and said, we're going to hire these, this group of people. We all said, great. A week later, they resigned because they found a job somewhere else for more money. Or found a place that had better housing. That's something that would attract them to another place. As the county gets older, so does our school system. We have a large number of people who can retire this year if they want to. For us to go out and recruit those, to fill those slots, is impossible. You know, it's impossible, A, to find them, B, to get them to come for the salary that we're going to offer them. So, you know, all those things have a great impact on our operating budget every year. It's tougher and tougher.
I understand that as well as anybody, believe me. I had three people that I was singing the praises of. We hit some home runs here, and all three of them backed out on us at the end. So I know totally what you're saying. So any other questions for the Board of Ed from the commissioners or comments? I would just like to say thank you again. I know it's an uncomfortable conversation to have, but if you don't have the conversation, you can't solve problems if you don't talk about it. And you know, this is important. Bottom line, I'll go back to what I said before. If I were sitting over there instead of over here, I would go back to what's the number, what's the ballpark. And sitting over here, I'll tell you, we can't give you a number for the reasons I've already articulated. But I think the takeaway is, for you all, correct, if I'm speaking out of line here, someone slap me. We're committed to fund as much as we can. We're committed to go to the bond market if we have to. We're committed to raise taxes if we have to. If there's a plan in place that makes sense moving forward. And it can't be a five-year snapshot. It's got to be a 10, 15, because all these five-year decisions have 10 and 15-year implications. I can tell you that all of the things that we talked about and trying to grow the population and everything else, you know, right now we're just about right in the middle of the pack as far as taxes are concerned in the state. If we would go up 6-8%, we'd be in the top four, and that's not going to grow the population. And unfortunately, in the areas that people do want to come to, Deep Creek, there's significant ad valorem tag. You can't look at that 99 cents per 100. You have to look at another 25 cents for water or 15 for sewer and whatever else it is. It's a significant investment. And even though those numbers aren't impacted, it's the total tax bill that you get, because those are embedded in the tax. I can tell you that the $27 million request for capital over the next 5 years is untenable at this time. that's not the number. I'm not going to tell you it's not 20 or it's not 15. I don't know. A lot of it, again, depends on what 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 look like, because that's, we can only commit so much over a certain period of time, and we also have to fund you guys. We've got a $5 million Swallow Falls bridge that needs replaced. We've got an EOC we still haven't built yet, and there's other things out there. So that you know, I don't, hopefully, though, that just gets the, you can use that with your consultant to say, here's our CIP, and we already know they can't fund that entire.
So I think that's a good point, because, you know, if a consultant knows that the constraints are, this is, this is what we're working with, then if I were the consulting firm, I would say, then how are you going to build a new school? How are you going to build a new school? If they have to chip in $25 million, they already said they can't do $27 million over 5 years, what makes you think you would ever get that? We won't. You know, so those are things that are important to say. You know, I think, Paul, coming out of this, the most important thing, though, is the trust that we have between the two groups. If you trust that we're going to give you the best that we can do, and we trust that you're going to do the best that you can do, that's all we can. That's all we can do. We can't do anything else. And I do feel there is a trust there. I've known, you know, it might's my house. Not lately, but
years ago. Yeah, so I'm glad you clarified that.
You get down today.
Yeah.
Page.
Yeah.
A story after that. I think the makes sense is, I'm hung up on if it makes sense. Explain to me what that means. Makes sense. Makes sense to who? Makes sense how?
I think the easy answer for me, and I know we've all used that, the easy answer for me is, at the end of the day, whether we like to say it or not, to me it comes down totally to finance. If it's a request for $100 million, that doesn't make sense. We can't afford it. If it's a number that, when we look at the bond market and we see what the tax rate would have to be to get there, and we know that those buildings are going to be there for the long term and hopefully not cost a lot of money after it has been done, like maybe Broadford and some of those other, or not Broadford, I'm sorry, Dennett Road and Broadford with the portables and some other things that you guys mentioned, those are what we're looking for that makes sense. To me, that's my interpretation of that.
Right, so that's what, but see, that's, how are we going to do a thing that makes sense here and makes sense here?
You have to communicate with us.
Okay.
You have to talk
to
us.
Okay, so you're gonna still listen.
Yeah, sure.
To what, okay.
I think to Paul's point, you know, it's one thing we go to the bond market for, pick a number, $20 million, $25 million, that's a debt we're going to have for 20, more than likely 30 years. So if we do that, and that's why he's saying we got to look beyond 5 years, because if we do that for a five-year capital plan, we can't turn around and do it in year six, seven, and eight, we can't do it again because we're still paying on that 30-year debt. That's, so hopefully, I think Tom's got a good point, hopefully, what makes sense to us will make sense to you all. I mean,
and what makes sense to us will make sense to you.
Yeah, hopefully.
Okay.
Well, and that dance, to go back to what Dr. Sorber said, that complicates it further is, you know, only you guys have the statutory authority to try to figure out what makes sense instructionally. Mm-hmm. And we have no say in that. And only we can then say what makes sense financially. And because we're not synergistically connected there, that's why arguments exist, you know, all over the state. And that's why, back to Coach's point and to what Jim said, that communication has got to remain both on the capital side and the operational side.
I have a couple questions. Are you asking the other departments to also give like a 10, 15-year plan, or is it just the Board of Ed?
We get updates and plans ahead for, we just went through a big, we had all of them submit their 10-year, we wanted to see the major projects to see what we can afford with the schools, and that's how we know we got a $5 million Swallow Falls Bridge. We've got a couple bridges coming up over the next 10 years that are going to cost a lot of money. Some roadway realignments that are going to cost some money in the EOC. So yeah, we work very close. It's different with the other departments because they work for us and answer to us. You guys don't. So therein lies the bigger challenge in working with the board. You have a certain set of autonomy that the finance department and human resources and the roads department don't have.
So again, like you said, when I come in here, my question was, like, if it was flipped, if you would be asking us how much money we'd give you, and we would say, we don't know. I mean, that's really hard to take away with no dollar, I understand, you want a plan. I mean, is it safe to say what you've got projected in the five-year plan that we will get this dollar amount?
I would maintain you don't know what you need yet because you haven't done the plan. That would be my answer to you.
But it's easier, even in your everyday living, it's easier to work the plan if you know you have a certain dollar amount of money that you have to work with, correct? So, okay, and another question I have. I have a letter here that was sent from you guys on May 30th, 2017. It says, to aid the process, the Board of County Commissioners advises that it plans to fund the Board of Education at maintenance of effort in the fiscal year 2019 and the fiscal year 2020. So is that still safe to say that when we're doing our next budget for the year 2020, that we know that we're getting funded maintenance of effort?
Well, we have to fund you.
I realize you do, but it doesn't say like above or it's that.
My answer would be it depends on what plan you come up with. We always fund you. We fund you pretty much every year beyond maintenance of effort anyway.
When you factor in that
capital and one-time non-recurring costs, so I think pretty much every year you get more than maintenance of effort.
But last year, I believe we didn't have anything that we got to send downstate for capital improvement projects. We lost the whole year of funding.
And that's because nothing was submitted.
We did. Yeah, we had the one-time expenses.
But you got the one-time expenses.
Right. I was just talking on capital.
You did miss out on the capital because we didn't have the plan.
So I guess the takeaway is we don't actually have a dollar amount to work with. We're not knowing that we have like projected year 2020 we'll get $1,643,000 in the year 2021 the projected is $7,373,845. So that's, even though it's on here, we can't actually go by this then.
Those are, as we said earlier, those are projected.
I understand, yes.
So that there's a lot of contingency. You might get more than that. Who knows? We need to see a plan. We need to have these conversations with, I mean, I've always told the superintendent and the staff that if you have absolute needs, ask them.
And I feel that we do through our capital improvement project.
And, and then it's up to us to decide if we can fund it or not. And what I think was made very clear is the CIP as submitted now, looking at 5 years, that number is untenable. So that's why it's, I think, very important with this consultant. That's why I said that. So they know those constraints. When they move forward, they can look for efficiencies, which I know is one of the priorities, that might make not getting that amount of money a little more tolerable to the board if you can find savings on the back end, which I'm assuming is what you're looking for in the first place.
I do have one more question. In several of those meetings that we had, where we had like secondary education, elementary, we had commissioner, college, we had different partners. Most of us, there was more than two board members, so the other one sat there and observed. But it had been said more than once that now is the time maybe to get money from the state. If we have the same governor reelected, delegate senator, same commissioners. Is there anything, like it had been said, so I'm questioning now, what does that mean?
I think we're talking about capital projects.
So do we think we can get more money from at state level? I wasn't allowed to speak at those meetings, so now I can ask.
I think, and we've had this discussion, I do think there's an opportunity to get money from the governor specifically. Matter of fact, I'm talking to him now about a project that I'm not ready to share yet, but I think
with
we have.
With the school system?
Yes. That I think would be a big deal. But it's hard to go say we need a roof on Broadford if we don't know 3 years from now Broadford's going to be there or be the same. We can't go to the governor. We'll shoot ourselves in the foot if we go to the governor and ask for money and he funds a project, and then through the consultant or whatever, something changes with that building, or it ceases to be used 100% as an educational institution, which would then cut the percentage back. Because he's, one thing I'm 100% sure of, anything he does for us, he's going to get scrutinized by Montgomery County, Howard County, Baltimore City, and Prince George's County. And they're going to want to know why they're giving us money. We're 0.5% of the entire population, and he's got to be able to justify that. There are some things that are very easy for him to do, and some things that aren't a lot of money that make big impacts here that wouldn't other places, which is part of the reason why, you know, again, I keep harping on this, it all really comes back to the planning. We need to know when we ask for money that we're asking for money that's a good investment for the long term.
I think the point we're trying to make is we have a 4-year window of opportunity with Senator Edwards being back, Delegate Beisel being back, all three of us, the governor getting reelected. Things are as good as they're going to get. At the end of that 4 years, things are going to get worse. I can just about guarantee you that in terms of how our access to funds, our access and influence on policy, legislation, all those kind of things, we're going to have
less of an impact.
We're going to have less of an impact. And that's why that plan is so important. And you know, frankly, we should have the plan now, because we're going to lose one budget year with the state because we don't really know what to ask for in this upcoming budget. So it's absolutely essential to get that plan done, get things into the state's 5-year capital budget. All of it doesn't have to be done through the education side. There may be ways to do things the other way. That's what Paul's talking about.
There's general bonds.
That we should be advocating. Please share so we can advocate. But I just thought this is a prime opportunity to ask.
No, I'm glad you asked that, because that is a good question.
Something else that I said this last month at our board meeting, when the people were here from downstate, I was very fortunate that I could be there. And I made the comment, Missy Bolt gave a wonderful spiel on the closing of schools and the importance of the communities and what had been done here in the past. So they totally understood several things. And they said, which I said at our last board meeting, like in rural counties and stuff, some places were putting up a wall in the school. Like you said, our numbers are numbers. I guess you meant, you're referring earlier to our enrollment. Some of our schools have a lower enrollment when you're talking about numbers. I think that's what you was referring to, the enrollment in our schools. You're looking at me like you're confused, I think. But said some places, if you value all your schools, you know, you might come to where you have to put a wall up. And I didn't make it clear, but then you might tear a section of your school off, and then you're still maintaining it, but it's doable to the amount, to the moment you have.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I think I see what you're
that,
saying.
That was interesting. I've never heard that before.
Hierarchy.
That has been done.
We
and
have hierarchy.
Right. Yes. So then,
building the schools to your
liking. Yeah. So then, when it comes time to do a roof, you would be the one. You might be getting your enrollment would be up.
And that, see, those are the types of things that make
more
outside
support
the box
from the state.
Talk.
There'd be less requests for the county. That's something else that I learned that I thought was important.
All right, anything else?
When you find something out, you need to share, please.
When I find something,
I will hold you accountable.
Now's not the time.
No.
Yeah, and going forward, we'll be glad to give strategic planning and whatnot.
Sure. Yeah, and if you need anything from us, we'll be happy to sit in on a meeting or.
Yeah,
you know,
it may not
need.
Be my place to volunteer Paul, but he's over there. I would talk to him, and I don't know when you bring the consultant in. I don't know if it's appropriate or whatever. If I were you, I'd have him talk to Paul about the finance side of it. If you want that to be part of what they're going to, one of the considerations they're going to make, something they're going to look at. He's not all that tough to get along with most of the time.
Only over Mexican food.
That's right.
With emotion? any other comments?
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
Motion adjourned.